I wish someone had told me it's okay to slow down.
Sometimes God would just cut away people who he knows is that influential in your life so that you can just hear him.
Because sometimes when you are with people, you don't see the full value in just yourself.
My expectation, one of them anyway, was that as the older I get, mm-hmm. the more easier life is supposed to be.
Right.
And I find that that's not the case.
Hey y'all, we are back with another episode of Noble Melanin. Today I am here with Miss Tammy Brown, which is a clinical specialist, my good girl and nurse friend Elena, and last name Brown as well.
Yeah.
And my mom, of course. Today we are talking about intentional living, and I think that this is going to be definitely another heavy topic, but I think necessary. Normally we start off with, I wish someone had told me. And normally I do start off, but I'm going to let you guys go first. Mm-hmm. So as it relates to intentional living, what is something that you wish that someone would have told you guys?
Okay, well, I guess I'll start. I guess I wish someone would have told me that being emotional can cause damage. You really have to think about certain processes. And in our household, we weren't taught everything is about a feeling. Mm-hmm. So I wish someone had told me that it's okay to check your emotions. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? To be in the moment of what's happening and not so overly emotional about things. So that's what I wish someone had told me.
I agree with that. I feel like I'm getting better at that, but I don't mm-hmm. think that it's something that you necessarily are conditioned to do.
Right.
Most times you act on your feelings, it's impulsive. Mm-hmm. And then later on you retract and like, dang, I could have did this better, or mm-hmm. I shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have said that.
Absolutely.
I just learned that. Yeah. I recently just learned that.
I wish someone had told me it's okay to slow down. Like, everything doesn't have to happen all at once. I feel like a lot of times I want everything to happen right now. Like, mm-hmm. Not saying that there isn't a process to go with things, but sometimes you overlook it because you're so focused on the ending or the outcome. So I wish I was told that it's okay to take your time. It's okay to slow down and really set intention to everything that you do, whether it's what you say, whether it's your career goals, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you do, set an intention behind it. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't want to say prior to this season of my life that I was just going with the flow. I feel like I had goals and I feel like I had a why somewhat, but I don't think that I was completely intentional mm-hmm. about everything. Mm-hmm. Like, the old Kimberly was very impulsive, and sometimes mm-hmm. I still can be when I get emotional. But I think that me being like in a solitude season, I was able to like really dig deeper within myself.
Okay.
Especially as it relates to like my relationship with God and really slowing down to figure out what my life needed to change to be, you know?
So what made you do that? So like, what made you say, okay, it's time to slow down? Like what magic light bulb went off? Because you know how sometimes people be like, yeah, I need to slow down, and it's just like a taboo conversation. Like, I just need to slow down. Mm-hmm. What
I felt like I kept encountering the same cycles.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, Kimberly, what are you not getting?
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to money, as it relates to my relationship, being with somebody for so long and hoping and wishing and praying and crying
for a different scenario.
Right. And every time that you give someone a chance, or every time that you try to budget, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I felt like I just kept encountering the same cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, obviously it's something I'm not getting, so let me figure out what I'm not getting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For me, I need to slow down because I want stuff. Even right now, I haven't learned that, slowing down. I still want it. I need to do this. But what makes me slow down is I stress myself out doing that. Mm. And it's like my mantra is pretty much, I need to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm stressing, I can't. So I'm like, Elena, do what you can. You don't have to put all this on your to-do list today. Do this today, do this tomorrow, do this the next day, and then you can get it done. But I'm still working on that too, because I'm just like.
And it's good to say that it's a work in progress. I think that sometimes our social medias, well, our social medias, y'all know, non-existent. But social media, especially for your eyes, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I don't know about you. I'm maybe, what, 5 years older than you? But I don't know how social media is for you, mm-hmm. but when you're looking at all of these different things and you feel like people have achieved their end goal and it's an illusion mm-hmm. that they really haven't, mm-hmm. but you feel like you 10 steps behind because sure. they make the appearance that mm-hmm. they've already mm-hmm. made
like
it.
They've arrived. Absolutely.
Right. So absolutely. It's great to say, hey, you know what? I'm still working on this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I wish someone would have told me more about the importance, and this might be a little sideways, but you touched on it mm-hmm. A little bit. The more the importance about credit and debt and mm-hmm. saving mm-hmm. And all of that, because when I was younger, I don't think they do it now in the colleges, but I remember getting my first credit card when I was in college. I was like 18. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those credit card people and stuff, they were all at our schools just mm-hmm. signing everybody up. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And that has followed me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, just taking out loans for college, mm-hmm. that, you know, money that I'm still having to pay back. And I, you know, I've been having conversations with my daughter, and, you know, I pay for her to go to college. I refuse to let her be in any form of debt. And so just breaking that generational cycle, mm-hmm. You know, I know my mom did the best that she could, and mm-hmm. she did mention things to me from time to time, but really just sitting me down, having some real candid conversation with mm-hmm. me about it, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So that's probably one of the most important things that still with me that I wish someone
like a better grip on finances.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I feel like in the Black community in general, I think that finances are like a taboo too. It's like it's either you're struggling or you're well off, but mm-hmm. nobody is having to create a budget. You mm-hmm. have to know what's mm-hmm. coming in and what's going out, what's mm-hmm. left over, what can you invest, mm-hmm. what options do you mm-hmm. have? You know what I'm saying? Like absolutely. Nobody's really having those conversations, let alone teaching you mm-hmm. how to mm-hmm. do different things that'll set you ahead. Because I feel like my mom budgeted, and I knew that she did, but it still wasn't a conversation. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, how do you bring that to your kids? Because mm-hmm. you're not learning it in mm-hmm. high school, college.
Right. Because I Google, like, how do I budget? How much is it supposed to be spent on personal, you know?
Yeah.
And they got numbers, like 70, 30, 20. I'm like, okay, the 70, 30, 20. I don't know what the numbers are. But it's rules, mm-hmm. like, to learn how to budget mm-hmm. appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, according to your income.
Yeah, this is something income. That they should be mm-hmm. teaching us in school, mm-hmm. as opposed to teaching us stuff that we may or may not use when mm-hmm. we get
because there was a one about paying off credit cards. Like, you're supposed to do, I think, a 7% rule or something. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to save that because I'll go back to it and look about how to do credit cards.
There's so much about mm-hmm. finances that I did not know.
It's a lot about
finances. And it's scary because it's like, she tells you, you know, like, you need 3 different accounts and split it up this way and do this and do that, right? And then I started doing all of these things, and I'm like, okay, but Lord, I like to see all of my money in one place because I want to see
how much
$100,000 as opposed to $2,000. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, it's mm-hmm. like I don't like seeing, and I think it has a lot to do with
if you don't see it,
but not even out of sight, out of mind. I think it all still plays in the do I have enough? Am I enough? It plays a part in everything. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like, for me, my own insecurities, I already felt like I wasn't enough.
So you see, so
I'm trying to
validate.
Yeah, like so validation. It's like you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so I'm pouring into different areas of my life that you wouldn't even connect to certain things.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't want to feel like I'm close to nothing.
Got it.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't want to feel like I'm going to be back to broke again. So I want to see the big numbers so I can know that mm-hmm. I'm progressing and I can, you know what I'm saying?
Because in this world that we live in, or the social media world or whatever, a lot of times money ties into like status of like who you are.
Of course,
So I can see why you did that, but you're worthy whether you got all the money or no money.
You don't have to see it.
I just didn't realize, because initially you wouldn't think that there's an emotional attachment to money.
Right.
But it is, you're right.
Until you start unpacking some stuff and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize. Like, why am I anxious as I'm reading this? Why do I feel like I've missed a mark? You know what I'm saying?
A guy told me something like that. He was like, he went through something where he felt that was like his validation, where he had to pay for like girl stuff that made him feel like something.
You were worthy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Something. So now he switched it, which is good in a way because we still want our stuff paid for. But he switched it where he's not trying to dish out as much to try to get a girl to like him. But
right.
Okay. So that was his approach. Like I got
It's his approach to try to cut back.
Yeah.
Oh, not the spending. But the thing
with that is, though, he's cutting back on the spending, but he still has to do that internal work.
Yeah. I think that was part of it, though. He realized, like, okay, I was doing it because of this. So, you know what? This is why I was doing it, so I don't have to do it. Because
it's almost essentially like, it's still the narrative of I'm not enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have to try to overextend by spending on you so that you can feel like I'm enough or to give me a chance.
And if we don't do that inside work, we may stop one behavior, but we may start another behavior.
Because we're not.
The inside work.
Exactly. Well, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like in this process, especially with even building the brand, I feel like there's so many things I've had to unlearn and undo. But I think the importance of, and I wish someone had told me this too, once you undo or unlearn something, you have to replace it with something.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. With a principle, whether it's something that you're applying to your life, a different habit, healthier habit, etc. Because it's that much more easier to slip back into what you were already doing when you don't replace it. Because now that's a void. You get what I'm saying?
And I'm literally just learning that.
Yeah. I just learned it right now.
Yeah. You have to replace it. Seriously. Yeah. You have to replace it.
I didn't realize that. I thought the undoing and the unlearning of something was enough within itself.
Yeah.
Until you start to slide back into old habits and you're like, dang, I just left it vacant. So if you're still in the same environments around the same people doing the same things, it's that much more easier for you to fall back into what you were already comfortable with.
And it may be the same thing, but just a different aspect of the same thing that you thought you still changed.
Yeah.
But you're just doing it a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same behavior.
You just put some perfume on.
Right. I wish someone would have told me how powerful your mind is, how powerful your thoughts are.
Ooh.
So because your thoughts is literally what you're going to do. It's what you're thinking about all the time, and it's what you're going to put out. And it's like, you know, whether it's doubt, you're going to, I'm not saying you're going to work in doubt, but that's what you're going to be pretty much putting out.
No, you will.
Powerful. You have to actively work through it. And sometimes, and I don't even want to say that. I think that for those who actively try to work to dispute whatever negative thought or emotion or feeling that they're having, it can take a lot of work sometimes, especially depending on the individual.
On anything.
Right. So those who, you know, actively work on it because they recognize it, for one, it takes a lot of work, and they should get pats on the back.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot for us to stay grounded.
Yeah. Because there's so many times where you think like, oh, I'm not worthy, or well, somebody may have said something where you're constantly just thinking about how I should be or how I should act. And then that's take up so much time of your day.
Yeah.
And then even when it comes to stuff you want to accomplish in life, you think about, all right, am I good enough? Am I this or am I that?
Yeah.
And it can hinder you, it can help you. So that's one thing I wish someone would have told me, is that you really got to work on like taking out that negative what thought that comes in your head. You got to really consciously do it. Take it out and replace it with positive stuff, with positive stuff. And also who you surround yourself with, who's talking those things with you as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the most powerful things. Now when I listen to people, sometimes I'm like, I don't even want the advice. Not saying that your words aren't meaningful or good to...
They're not. Let's just say what it is. I'm sorry, they're not. I'm not saying that you're... They're not.
They're not. But yeah, I just don't want it. Yeah. Sorry.
Absolutely.
So, I'm just...
And I think, too, because I feel like from certain people, I do value what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it still speaks to the three different portals that you have mm-hmm. on your body, mm-hmm. what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that if someone has your ear, that's influential.
Mm-hmm. Very influential.
And it's more than what we think. I'll say that. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you don't realize
that it's going back
And it sticks.
Mm-hmm. You sometimes you're like, well, I ain't gonna do that. But then you go home, you kind of think about it a little bit. Well, she kind of said it.
Absolutely.
Somebody say you a mean person or something. Just something like you a mean person. Ooh, you're like, I'm not mean. Analyze it. Yeah, I'm not mean.
And then walking and down the street and like, what did I do?
Exactly. What did I do?
Now I'm doubting myself and everything because I'm playing back what you said.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And that happened. My friend asked me for some advice. And I didn't give my advice because I'm just like, it's not really I didn't feel like it was my place to give it because mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know her mind, how she's going to take it. So I just told her what I liked about it. I'm like, I like this and da-da-da. But she really forced. She was like, you didn't tell me what you thought, mm-hmm. da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I was like, do you really want my opinion? And she's like, no. Good for you.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that you can, because honestly, you think about it. Advice is what we ask for when we already know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You already know. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying that it's not good to sharpen each other and get a different perspective because you weigh your perspective against mm-hmm. someone else who you honestly feel has a good perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the, but when you go, like you said, and I'm thankful that you guys have God at the nurse's station with you, mm-hmm. and you're actually inviting the Holy Spirit to be in these conversations that you're in. Mm-hmm. But when you're having a conversation and it's just frivolous conversation with people, and there is no spirit, it's just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
I can't remember if I read it, but I love Iyanla Vanzant. Mm-hmm. Like, her books, her, mm-hmm. like, that's my girl. So, you see this. Hey, girl. So, the one thing she said was, the thing that causes suffering is an unexamined thought.
I know
it. So, when you let stuff sit.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Like, you really have to.
Come on, Ayanna.
Okay.
We'll give you the clutch.
Listen, if you have not read the book, The Value in the Valley, please get it. It's so good.
Okay.
It helped me. Like, one of the things I did do in my solitude time was read.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me to navigate what needed to change, why I act a certain way,
mm-hmm.
How I handle certain things, even as it relates to, like, relationships and stuff like that. But I felt like I didn't even realize that when you don't examine every thought, especially the negative ones or something someone has told you, that's literally grounds for that seed to be planted in your brain and mm-hmm. how you operate, mm-hmm. How you may react to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how deep it really is.
Like, wow.
When you don't examine thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that. And then she also said, I think for me, like we were talking about solitude and doing the work, for me, it made me realize that the focus should be on me and not with social media. Like, this era of social media makes you feel like you're so invested mm-hmm. in other people.
I know.
And when you're so invested in other people, then there's a deficit in your lane, mm-hmm. in your world. And the analogy she used was like, okay, if you're in your car,
mm-hmm.
you're driving in your lane and somebody else is in their car driving in their lane. If you're so busy worried about what they're doing, what's happening
in
your world mm-hmm. and in your lane?
Mm-hmm.
The word that she used, like, you have a deficit in your world because you're so worried about everybody else's world.
And wow, and when you think about, I don't know about y'all, but this, at this age in my life, when you say deficit to me, I'm like, what? Where's my baby? What? Where is the deficit? It needs to be fixed to arrest the deficit. So, the deficit, that.
Yeah.
Don't say that word around me, girl. It's a trigger. It's a trigger.
I feel like, okay, so with you guys' expectations versus experiences, right? Do you feel like at this point in your life, with your experiences, do you feel like your expectations were different, like, coming up? Like, now that you feel like intentional living is something that you put your energy and your effort into, do you feel like prior to now, Like, what was your expectations versus your experiences as it relates to living intentional?
For me, my expectation, one of them anyway, was that as the older I get, mm-hmm. the more easier life is supposed to be.
Right.
And I find that that's not the case. Uh-huh. The older I get, the more difficult things mm-hmm. are. Doesn't mean that it can't be worked out, but the older I get, the more anxious I am about certain things, especially now that I have a kid. You know, she's not a child. She's 21. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's transitioning into a different part of her life. I'm getting older, so I'm thinking about death and dying more.
Oh, mortality. Wow,
just
yes.
all that sort of mm-hmm. stuff. So I don't know why I thought when I was younger, yeah, when I get older, things are just going to be fine. And they are fine. Don't get me wrong. It's really just the psyche behind all of it.
Right.
And how I handle life, how I process that, and just come to terms with stuff that's going to happen anyway. You know, what am I going to do with that?
Right.
So, yeah.
That's good. And honestly, I can say too, mortality definitely holds status when you're getting older. You think, like you said, you're going to ride off into the sunset, and you actually riding off into the sun because it's hot.
Right.
Yeah. Look, it's no set.
Okay.
Where's the set? Okay, come on.
That's my line. I swear that's my line.
So I'm just saying. So yeah, so you're right. Especially as you guys get older, you know, it does. It, like she said, it's not like it's, it can't be worked out.
Yeah.
But, you don't think that you're going to have these issues. And honestly, I think about, getting closer to retirement or, you know, transitions in my life. I definitely think about, you know, is my retirement plan going to be enough to sustain whatever?
Yeah.
You start thinking about, you know, where is the money mm-hmm. going to come from? When God is like, stop, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Be in this moment mm-hmm. because the older you get, your mind begin to think about mm-hmm. the finish, like she said, mm-hmm. the finish line,
absolutely.
Mortality,
absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's true. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think more and more too, because my daughter's an only child for me anyway. And I can't say that I feel guilty, maybe just a pinch, but not much. But I'm like, geez, you know, when I'm not here, who's going to be her support? Because she doesn't have any siblings from me. She's got siblings on her dad's side. They, you know, we all live in different states. Mm-hmm. Well, his other children, they live in different states.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think about that for her. Who is she going to have?
Mm-hmm.
And had I done her a disservice by not having any other children?
That's so interesting.
That sits heavy with me.
Yeah. And I told you I had another kid late in mm-hmm. life. So Kimberly was the only child until she was 20 years old, right? Your mm-hmm. kid's age. So I don't think it's a disservice, because in your heart, did you intentionally not have any more kids?
Yes and yes. No.
Okay. So, yeah, that's another segment. But if you honestly raised her up to be the independent,
mm-hmm.
go-getter, that she's in college, you've given her mm-hmm. you're sitting down, you're talking to her about finances, you're actually trying to transform who she's gonna be. She's gonna have her kids, hopefully, if she decides that she's gonna want kids, mm-hmm. she's gonna have her kids and her family. And hopefully, if, like, Kimberly has siblings on her father's side, she was an only child,
mm-hmm.
she has siblings on her father's side. I don't know how close they are, if they're talking to each other, but Kimberly is mm-hmm. close, just as close to her siblings on her father's side as she is to this girl who's right here with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
that's beautiful.
So I think, I mean, I'm looking, I don't even know you, Tammy. Mm-hmm. I feel your energy. I feel like I'm sure you did a great job raising your daughter. And I think sometimes the enemy tries to put doubt into mm-hmm. our hearts as to who we have created that's attached to us, to affect you. Because then it affects you more than it affects her.
Absolutely.
Do you guys feel like you have found your purpose, or like knowing your identity and purpose and being here? What do you feel like you're here to fulfill? Like, as it now relates to putting an intention behind the life that you live.
Mine sounds selfish. I don't know if it's selfish, but it sounds selfish when I probably tell it to people. But I really think that my purpose is to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then I think by me fulfilling that, it does help others because they get something to enjoy possibly. But I feel like I have to go and I have to enjoy. So no matter what it is, I have to find the positive. I have to find, sometimes I get the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if it's the greatest thing sometimes, but so I think about myself, all right, Lena, what makes you feel good? What makes you happy? I don't want to say something makes me happy, but what makes you feel good? So I search for that all the time. I'm like, you know, this makes me feel good today. So like I'm actress. So I'm like, this is what I need to be doing. But because this is what I enjoy, it is a service to other people.
And don't apologize for where you are. Don't tell nobody. This might sound selfish to y'all. I promise you, we were just talking about this last session, is creating a space that is unapologetic. Mm-hmm. You're unapologetically who God made you. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a season of enjoyment, who am I to be mad that you're about to pull the show up?
Right. She thinks she is.
Enjoying stuff.
Right.
Like, girl, like, what? Yeah. Who am I to say that you're
Because you'll be shocked. Some people make you feel bad because it's like, I'm just here to have a good time right now. Because like, I recently went through something too. So, like, tragic. So, I'm just like, Alina, you need to be having a good time. And that's the season I'm in right now. I'm just trying to have a good time. Mm-hmm. I'm here for a good time. Not a long time.
It's a party. Hey.
Same with me. Unapologetically, there has been some family, some friends that have been hurt or may not have been happy, but honestly, it's really just all about me right now. I do my best to take care of everybody, and it's not up to me to protect everyone else's feelings. I have to protect mine and do the best that I can to protect my daughters, and that's it. Like, I'm doing whatever I want to do, very selfishly.
Okay. I really feel like God has blessed me with a lot of different gifts, and I know for a fact helping is always like I have a natural ability to just help. People come to me, so I know all of those things are definitely, and it makes me feel good when I can just sit and talk to somebody and possibly, because I mean, I might be talking to y'all, but I'm learning too, you know what I mean? So just being in an environment that's going to help me to continue to figure out where I'm supposed to be. Because right now I'm still learning. And I don't care if somebody's just to say, hey, you almost this age and you ain't got it together. No, thank you. And you in my business. So there you go.
I just feel like it's not even a matter of having it together. I think sometimes, and I think for me, I had to really learn this, especially with my dad. Like, my dad has, it's 11 of us all together. And, you know, I feel like I don't want to say I'm the most understanding, but I think I look at things different, even as it relates to, like, my siblings. But I had to realize, like, my parents are also human. And just, like, we're trying to figure it out without kids. They had kids and had not yet figured it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had me early. And it's like, I couldn't even imagine going through my 20s with a kid.
Right.
It's no way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if we the new adults, like, I play all day. And you want me to...
Man, so you need to
hold
me back.
You know, I think it's important to allow ourselves some grace, though, because there's no just one figure it out, because life happens. So like I may have figured something out, but now something else has popped up, or I might have five figure it outs at the same time. So there's so many pockets of things that we have to figure out and learn and grow. I think maybe if we consider that, we may be able to allow ourselves some grace.
I feel like my dad wasn't hands-on because he didn't know how to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, my grandpa was more of the hands-on. And, you know, sometimes, like, you get more from your grandparents mm-hmm. than your parents will give you. You know what I'm saying? But your parents didn't get what you're getting from your grandparents.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like, I felt like in those times that they grew up, a lot of things weren't the norm. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, for me, I am the kid that want to go get ice cream at midnight just because mm-hmm. it's me and my dad or it's mm-hmm. me and my mom. Like, that's mm-hmm. just how I am. Mm-hmm. I want to go in the grocery store and get the
carts.
Motorized. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's me. Like, because I'll never forget that. Like, that's mm-hmm. how I am. But mm-hmm. I think that I have been able to give him more grace the more that I walk in my own journey. Like, dang, it's a lot of stuff that when you do have kids, I think you put on a back burner. Like, dang, I want to figure this out. But right now, my priority is her. Or my Absolutely. Priority is him. You know what
and
I'm
then,
saying?
And then your problems become more illuminated. Oh, she got a cold today. Oh, she just she's sick at daycare. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we may have wanted to, like you said, figure something else out, but you we're are not. your issues mm-hmm. are what priority. We're figuring out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And yeah. that doesn't stop just because you get older.
Yeah.
Because we're parents. So
see, that scares me. I don't know.
I don't know if I want to do it.
I mean, it's a natural part of life, you know. But I mean, y'all are young people.
Yeah.
So we're going to always have that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. And your kids never stop being kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ever. Agreed. Says the 30-year-old that comes and jump on my bed.
Like, I'm 43 and I jump on my mom's bed, you understand? And she still called me.
And
her
I'm
kid.
Not gonna lie to you. And I still go, I don't jump on the bed, but I still go get in the bed with my mom mm-hmm. when I go home. So mm-hmm. I don't think that you ever eliminate the kid factor.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
you're always gonna be kids.
So another point I had, like, I'm always writing some down, y'all. But I feel like in America it's always like survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I never wanted to feel like I was just existing. I wanted to feel like I'm actually living my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the biggest things that made me feel like I wanted to set intentions behind everything that I'm doing, whether it's dating, whether it's my finances, whether it's my career goals, whatever it may be. I wanted to set an intention behind it so that, because being a nurse, you kind of see, why can't I remember the specific name for it? But you know how, like, each age group has something that they're dealing with within that age group.
So, like the millennials, you see.
You have. Yeah, so, like, you know, like, I want to say it may be ages, like, late 50s to 60s, where mm-hmm. they start kind of reflecting.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like, I can't remember what the chart
yeah.
of it is. But it's like you start reflecting,
mm-hmm.
dang, did I achieve what I wanted to achieve? Mm-hmm. And as you said, like, as you start getting older, you're thinking about death more. And when I'm taking care of people, I notice that a lot of older people,
mm-hmm.
they if you talk to them, they'll, oh, I wish I could have did this,
mm-hmm.
or if I could have did this differently, I would have. Or mm-hmm. they don't have relationships with their kids, and it's like, mm-hmm. dang, I'm in the hospital, I have
nobody, yeah.
And nobody's coming to see me. Nobody's mm-hmm. even calling me to check on me. You know, mm-hmm. so it's like, I see different things like that in every setting. Whether it's trauma, whether it's transplant, whatever I have worked, you see the difference in the thought process. And then you have some that's like, listen, I've lived my life. And
I'm good.
I want to go today, I'm good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want to be like that. Like, yeah. I want to make sure that I've lived my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've set intentions with everything, and then the imprint that I have left was one that was
can't be removed.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's how come I'm unapologetically doing me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when it comes to family and even really close friendships, I think sometimes it becomes hard to navigate when you do want to choose yourself, because a lot of times, I know for me, I look at it as, dang, this relationship might change, or they may view me differently, or mm-hmm. you switched up, you changed, you're not the same, or mm-hmm. especially when they're used to you being a certain way.
Because mm-hmm.
I feel like for me, I always say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm coming to a point where it's like, you about to get this tough love.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, you calling me for money? Okay, let's do a budget. About,
yeah.
Because what's going on and why? Mm-hmm. You know, or like my little brother. Sis, they did me dirty at the airport. They don't want to let us get on a flight. So I said, either do dirty or you missed your flight.
Right.
Which one? Right. And he was like, no, I got here. I said, what time was the flight? 9:55. What time did you get there? 8:57. Absolutely not. So you weren't even through the security line at 8:57. You got there at 8:57.
Right.
Knowing that the door is closed. How, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
And it's Atlanta Airport?
No, this is
LAX.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I said, He was like, no, I spent my last to get my ticket to come back home. I said, okay.
You got to learn from that. You got to learn.
I'm like,
from
usually I'd have been like, oh, I'm going to see you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This time I'm like, I know you don't want to hear, but mm-hmm. you got to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, like, I bail you out every time. Mm-hmm. So today, no.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're coming home.
I know you come home.
But guess what? They still, I know you think the relationship changes, but they still end up liking you after. You be shocked.
No, he does.
Yeah, but you be shocked. I'm just not even talking about.
I'm nervous. You, I'm like, I already feel like I'm changing so much. And I feel like sometimes I'm the one changing by myself.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like. Like, it's times, like, I'll fast. I'm like, oh, I'm not drinking. Or, you know, like, right now, I'm not eating meat. I'm only eating seafood. And they'll be like, why are you not drinking? Like, you know, like, they mm-hmm. just don't understand. And mm-hmm. it's like, I feel like I'm the only one going through
the change.
Internal, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, trying to really figure life out.
And that may be the case. But once you say, like, you're not doing it, do you feel like they change towards you when you make those choices, when you do your changes?
Sometimes. Okay, so like say for example, I was like, okay, I'm not drinking from this day to, it was like a couple months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was close, it was like football season. So, you know, during football season,
yeah.
mm-hmm. a lot of people drink. You're going to the bar, you're going hang out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, oh, no, you can't go with me. If you're not drinking, you can't go. And it's like, why does me drinking determine, you know, like, mm-hmm. I can have fun without drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever. I'm goofy with
without it.
With,
right.
or, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it made me feel a way, but it's like,
it's okay.
Whatever floats your boat. You know, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not, you're not going to peer pressure me. Right. I said I'm not doing
but
it.
But in the end, you still went.
In the end, no, I didn't go.
You didn't go.
They still like you?
No, they do. They still love you.
I know. That's usually what happens.
They're gonna see you think about it. Girl.
They still don't like you.
People gonna try to get you to do, to be, it's like a tug of war.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's either I'm gonna pull y'all to my side or y'all gonna pull me to mm-hmm. y'all side.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? JC standing behind me, baby. So y'all coming in the mud every time. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. So come on across.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, I mean, they see you. They see your transitions, Kim. And I mean, for everybody. People see your transitions and they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, for me, I just have to get out of my feelings now.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. if something you see about me that's different, if something you see about me that's changing, then I want to feel a certain way because you're not understanding that I'm changing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the other side saying, why is she changing?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? You know, what's up with her? I got hands off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unapologetically. Mm-hmm. I just have to get out of my feelings.
That was probably my biggest challenge, or mm-hmm. is my biggest challenge.
Getting out of your
embracing
feelings.
Embracing what I'm walking into and knowing that I don't have to try to appease anybody mm-hmm. because of the changes that I'm making for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think for a while I felt like I was like one foot in, one foot out because I felt like I didn't want my whole world to feel like it was blowing up
mm-hmm.
when essentially that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, I pray, like, Lord, whatever that's not for me, whatever I need to change, et cetera.
Remove it.
And when I said the friends started leaving or the relationship was mm-hmm. gone, like, I'm like, I don't want it to further blow up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, guys, stop. Wait a minute. It's not what I meant.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah, so I think that was my biggest struggle. Mm-hmm. With trying to find intentionality behind living life.
Once you find that, it feels good, though. Because it's like, you be like, I don't even want it. Like, I thought I was, like, care so much to keep this or have this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? You think about, like, I don't want it.
Yeah, I'm good. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so interesting that you bring that up, though, because one of the thoughts that I thought about it more than once on what I wish somebody would have told me and what I wish I could have told myself, because my mama said it plenty of times. But what I wish I could have told myself when I was younger, my younger self, you know, early 20s, is that you don't have to please your friends all the time. That was a big thing. And, you know, just, you know, my childhood friends, and we're finally starting to repair. But I mean, it was a point in our friendship in our early 20s. You know, we were together since like middle school, high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now everybody's blossoming into their own personalities and doing their own thing. We were like this all the time. It's four or five of us. But at one point, something happened and something changed, and mm-hmm. I felt like I was the target. Mm-hmm. It's always Tammy said something, your mouth mm-hmm. is too smart, or Tammy's this or Tammy's that, and I'm like, but you said the same thing. Like, I help me understand, because nothing about my personality has changed. So something, I don't know, but it got to the point where I felt like I had to, and dumb myself down is not appropriate, but like I had to minimize my personality.
I struggle with that, girl.
And I'm just like, you know, like y'all are my, it got to the point where, you know, we kind of went our own ways except for a couple of us, you know, two branched over here. And then there's a couple in the middle. But, you know, it got to the point where I'm like, there's no way y'all are the closest people to me. And when I come around y'all, I feel like I can't be my true self because of my personality.
I just talked about this last session.
Now what?
And you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't. It's something that they see in you now. It's something that they're seeing about you that they have what? What's the word that I get? A deficit mm-hmm. in they self. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they seeing that. They're seeing what they're missing in you, whether it's a relationship that you're mm-hmm. embracing, whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's a deficit within themselves. And I'm not saying that you don't have to go, my sister, and do some introspect to make sure that
absolutely.
It's not something that mm-hmm. you're mm-hmm. portraying. But I did the self introspect, and I'm like, okay, God, show me, mm-hmm. show me, because I'm willing to go and apologize to this person and say, hey, listen.
I messed up,
and this is I'm that serious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something within those people usually that if all of them are targeting you, mm-hmm. it's something that they're seeing mm-hmm. that you're changing, that they have a deficit in.
Absolutely. Well, a couple of them have come and apologized, mm-hmm. even from stuff that happened years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I felt good about that, because it was some stuff that I was apologizing for. I didn't even know why I was apologizing, but to save the friendship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And just really changing a whole bunch of stuff about myself. But that, it got exhausting to have to watch my mouth every time. And, you know, and y'all are my girls, but everybody else speaking freely. Mm-hmm. So that was very unfortunate.
So are you sharing that with your 21-year-old?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, great. Yes, yeah. I'm very verbal. My mom was the same way with me. But, you know, these are our friends. These are my friends. Mm-hmm. Grew up together, so it was different, you know. Just and then also, the type of person I am, just trying to meet people where they at and mm-hmm. please my mm-hmm. friends. It took me a while to get, so I really didn't care about what anybody else thought. But if I loved you, I care mm-hmm. very deeply. I couldn't just brush it off. And it took me a while to get over that, because just because I love you should not mean that I have to minimize myself so you can feel
hurt.
Better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I just started really, setting intentional boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Because it does affect how you live. Mm-hmm. It affects your peace. It affects your, it affects everything. And even with redefining old relationships, mm-hmm. God may not have taken your friends away, right? Sometimes he cuts it and say, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think too, at certain levels of our life, he redefines the friendship. Yeah. And it's okay to set that absolutely. Boundary to whatever that friendship is. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to exist within that friendship the way that you used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If y'all don't have new stuff to move toward, that means that relationship has stopped growing. Mm-hmm. And anything that is stagnant, you said it, it's it, any type of water that sits there for a while, it begins to what? Mm-hmm. Stink and die. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's stagnant. My therapist, we were talking about transitions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, you know, I feel like, I can't remember how I explained it to her, mm-hmm. but her response was, you're in your seed season. Mm-hmm. And the more and more that I kind of like really meditated on what she was saying to me, it was almost like a revelation, if you will. Like when somebody has a garden and they lay the soil and they plant a seed, mm-hmm. at that point, it's like you relinquish control.
Absolutely. Into the right? soil. Absolutely.
And I feel like for me, that's God. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I'm planted at this point and it's like, you're really relinquishing your control to me, who can foresee everything that's happening above ground, mm-hmm. right? I can water you. I can pull the weeds. I can do whatever it is that needs to happen so that you can have an environment conducive to grow in, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, losing friendships felt like, you know, we went in the ground together. Mm-hmm. And when I come up,
you don't see
y'all were weeds.
Oh, that's good.
You get what I'm saying? And it's like, at the same time, it's like, okay, Lord, we started this together.
Where are they? Right.
However long. And it's like, you asked me to walk away from something, or there starts to be turmoil within the relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't feel like I did anything. And now I feel like I am the black sheep of the group. Like, mm-hmm. what's so different about me? And have I changed that much? You get what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And I'm like, okay. I didn't look at the analogy in that way at first, because I'm like, she was like, even as a seed, once you start to grow, your inside is chaotic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize that until you erupt and you start to grow, and then there's darkness. Mm-hmm. Then you come above ground and you can see like, okay, this is what
mm-hmm. what happened under there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where I am in this season. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like I'm at a place where I've erupted, but it's still dark. Mm-hmm. And it's like
you sprouted underneath the ground, but you still can't feel you're still working your way up to
And it's like when you have friendships that are that, you know, deeply rooted from like your childhood and etc., you don't picture life without them, and you mm-hmm. definitely don't
still can't.
Yes. And I'm like, for me, I don't know if this season is just right now, or if it's that's it. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's no beef. I still love them to death. But at the end of the day, I feel like the more that you change courses, it's harder to try to embrace and take everybody with you, because you realize as you're changing, it illuminates everybody who's not.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. And one of the things that I always see is when you are changing, or if you, like, when you have a purpose and you're trying to get to that purpose, and you have a lot of people around you, because even me and her would be in the same household, and God would allow her not to even speak to me because I'm still influential. Sometimes God would just cut away people who he knows is that influential in your life, so that you can just hear him, mm-hmm. focus on him, hear him. Because if all of these people are with you, you feel like you're leaning on them mm-hmm. more than you're leaning on him. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, especially like one of my friends, we went through a little situation, and like you said, we're healed from it. And I had to listen to what she had to say to me, and she had to listen, but it's a valued relationship. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a cut. It was a redefined. But the time that she wasn't here, I went through a lot mm-hmm. for God to get my attention. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to her until after, literally, I came back from Israel. Mm-hmm. And God had dealt with me in such a way that my heart was different mm-hmm. when it responded yeah. to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and he kept saying, you remember I told you, I said, can't talk to her until I come back from Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, what that meant, because I went to Israel bad. JC, I was like, JC, I don't know what you're trying to do in Israel, but I'm serious. That's the mindset I had. I'm like, okay, I don't know what this trip is about, but okay, I'm going to Israel. But when I tell you, he made me, without saying a word, when I say without saying a word, I internalized everything that man needed me to see. I wept. I cried. Mm-hmm. And she would say, you're getting you together, huh? Look, without me even internalizing anything to her, you know what I'm saying? He getting you together, huh? Yeah, JC is funny like that. But sometimes he has to remove certain people. Oh, not, hey, here I am.
And it just goes back to who has your ear.
Yeah.
But I also feel like a lot of times it's what you see as well. Because I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah.
Like right now, I haven't really been. Like, I have a lot of shows that I'm missing right now. Because I pretty much gave up that for,
social
like,
media.
Six months.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But I still, like, I fall asleep to certain shows, but it have to be, like, a show like Sister, Sister.
Martin.
You know, Martin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fresh Prince, like, but it's strictly because I'm going to sleep.
Right.
And I just, at 30 years old, at my big age, just started being able to sleep without the TV on.
But speaking of what y'all was saying, I just got to a point where I felt okay to let friendships go that I've had for so long. Mm-hmm. I think it is a good thing when you went to Israel, you didn't talk to her or whatever. Because sometimes when you are with people, you don't sometimes see the full value in just yourself. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes your value comes with people, and these are the people that see value in you, or when y'all doing stuff together. And it's like, I feel like I've learned, like, Alina, you don't need them. You don't need them. It's more so like, you can survive on your own, and then you're valuable, and then you can create your own world. Mm-hmm. And then the people that need to be in your world, they will be here. Yeah. So if it is friendships that, you know, wasn't, you know, they weren't right, or at that time or that moment, and you needed to, you know, go into solitude and create a new world or your own world, the right people will come, and it's gonna feel right. And not saying that, you know, God won't ever bring those people back in your life. That's we were talking about that before. Sometimes I'm just like, I'm just like, let life do what it do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, because you might be mad at this person, you're never gonna talk to this person again. You don't know what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're not there with this person right now, where y'all ain't talking, that's just where we at. You never know. 5 years later, we might come across like, what was we mad at? Or whatever. Oh, you cool. And if not, that was just it. Yeah. Season, reason, lifetime, however.
Yeah, so true.
That's good.
And sometimes I think with the friendships that we have from kids, you have to realize that the history doesn't always play the biggest factor.
True.
And I think that was something that I wasn't willing to let go. Because sometimes you just stay, whether it's in a relationship, a platonic friendship, whatever it is, sometimes we tend to stay longer than we should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And I think,
absolutely.
I think for me, sometimes it's just the having the comfort, but also being afraid of the unknown.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like having to recreate and redefine what friendship is to
absolutely.
You and how you can be intentional about your chosen family, like the people you're choosing to be around. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really big part of intention too. Like, who are you connecting yourself to, and
absolutely.
What roles are they playing in your life? Because I'm like, the time clearly doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's only been barely 4 months.
And the connection was there.
Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like,
but too, I think connections can easily happen and my intention, and I guess this will be my last gem for this episode, is a good friend of mine, Kia, she showed me a circle that I would never ever forget, and I've shared it with my daughter, I've shared it with you, and I think I've shared it on the other episode, but she drew a circle, and she said, inside this circle is God. And on the next ring of the circle is me and whoever my boo is.
Hey, boo.
But, and on the outer ring of that circle, everybody else can balance. And I'm telling you, when God is the center of your life, every relationship in your orbital system will balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a known fact. if you focus on God, everything else around you will balance. Mm-hmm. So so that's my gem for today. There you go. Boop, that is.
Thank you.
There
you
go. Thank you.
Boop, that is.
I'm done, y'all. How y'all feel?
I feel good.